All right, good to see everybody here this morning. Good to have the Mest back from their trips, their travels. And our numbers, I think, are down because most people are in the back with the food. Can't blame them. We'll go ahead and have our word of prayer this morning. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given unto us. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we have to come together as a family and to study your word and to dive deeper into it and to learn more about what your word says, what you have told us through your word. Pray, Father, that you'll be with those of our number that are sick. And if it be your will, Father, that they'll get to their much-wanted health. And forgive us our many sins, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and pick up here in James. We have just a few more verses to cover. And then from what I'm understanding, Brent, you're going to take the next class? You bowed out. Okay. Bring us back to needing somebody else to teach. Well, 1 Peter falls in line with what we've been doing for the last year or so. Well, I know we don't have to, but that just carries along our theme of going through the whole New Testament. Or you said go back to Mark. Okay.
No, nobody's going to say anything.
Do we ever? You think? Well, we can think about it and let him know after class. I would say Peter, just to carry on with our thought process, if you will, of going through the New Testament. So we have two for Peter. First Peter, not second, first. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and pick up this morning in James. I'm going to have to... Steve? Can you put me on slide 10, 513? There we go. All right. Any questions or comments on what we've looked at so far in James? All right, then we'll go ahead and pick up here this morning in James 5, verse 13. Meeting specific needs. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Okay? So here we see James talking about if you have any kind of special needs, any problems, if anyone among you is suffering, okay? We all suffer at one point or another. What are some ways that we suffer?
Life.
Life, okay? Life happens, doesn't it? And life is filled with all kinds of suffering, all right? So if we're having any kind of problems, and we are suffering, what do we need to do? Pray. Okay? Do we pray enough? No, we don't. Okay? Why is that? Why do we not pray? They don't know how? Is there a specific way that we need to pray? You know, prayer is what? Just talking to God. Okay?
There are parameters, yes. You've got to go to God. Right.
Right. Because we pray through Jesus to God. We don't pray straight to God. We pray through Jesus. Okay? So, there are a couple of things that we need to deal with as far as prayer, But there is no specific, you got to do this, 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 you got to say this, you know. We have the example of Jesus' prayer.
Well, there's even a little more. There's things you got to do before God can hear your prayer.
Okay. But there's a difference.
We are covered continually by the blood of Christ.
Maybe if he doesn't hear the prayer of non-believers.
It's non-believers. And that's those are what they call sinners. Yeah. That's why it's contradictory when people say, well, if you pray through, then you'll be saved or something. You know, when they say, pray and you'll be saved, that's not how it works.
No. Right. Okay. A lot of times we say we don't know how to pray. We don't know when to pray. We don't know if we should pray, for this whatever reason. There's a lot of excuses as to why we don't pray. And we
pray without ceasing.
What does that mean to pray without ceasing? No.
It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. We need to continually be talking to God and have Him in the forefront of our mind in everything that we do. And if we do, we probably wouldn't do all the dumb stuff that we do. You know, it stops us from doing a lot of dumb stuff.
Unless you're a guy.
Yeah,
we've got to include the guy factor. Yeah, but and that's a good way of looking at it. Is that if we have prayer in the forefront of our minds all the time, then we're going to pray more because we see reasons why we need to pray. And I've had times, and I've shared some with you, at men's retreats or whatever, to where, I told a guy one time we're thinking about moving back to North Carolina or not, and I told my friend, I said, I don't know what to do. And he goes, I do. And he puts his hands up on my shoulders, and he said, we're going to pray. Kathy was driving down the road one time down Sprigg Avenue, and she was talking to our minister, and all of a sudden he, whatever it was, started praying. And she's like, do I close my eyes or what? We always have this thing that, how we need to pray. But if we always have it in our mind, in our forefront, that, we need to pray about everything, then we're going to pray about everything. Can we say too many prayers? No, we can't. Okay, hang on, Kat.
Might just be me.
Okay.
How I think for whatever. I think our whole life is a prayer of God. We're living to serve Him, to do His will. When we do the right things, say the right things, and we go up, I think those are prayers to God.
Mm-hmm. We are a shining example. Right. Kat?
It can be as simple as, petty things. Thank you, God.
I was just going to say that.
Thank you, no matter what. Or why, God, if it's something not good. But, thank you. And help me understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a big thing, when you're coming up on something, just a quick prayer. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. Just a quick prayer. Lord, be with me. So we just need to constantly remember that we need to pray. Pray about everything. Pray without ceasing, okay? Don't come up with excuses why not to pray. Just pray. If you're suffering, especially as James says here, if you're suffering, whatever that life has thrown at you, don't think that you have to face it yourself. You're not alone. You're never alone. I've got a shirt that I made up for one of the camps that I did, and it's a big hand, and it says, "You and me and God make five. You are never alone." Do you get that one? You and me and God, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit make five. You are never alone. Okay? God is always there. And we need to remember that, and we need to go to Him in prayer anytime. That's fine. Yeah, I've got a couple of books that I've wanted to find before I did a sermon on prayer. And the one thing I do remember in this little small book, it's a big stop sign. Everything is a stop sign. And it's stop. S-T-O-P. Spend time on prayer. You know? And that's stuck in my mind. I don't remember everything else in the book, but I do remember those stop signs, S-T-O-P, to spend time on prayer. So, okay. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know, how many times do you think of and sing songs, the psalms, not just a country hit western song or whatever, you know, but you sing a psalm, a spiritual song, you know, what we sing here on Sundays, you know. Do you ever think about them? Do you sing them in your head? Yeah. Okay. So, and what do you think about when you sing those songs? You can't be down in the dumps, can you? No, because that's going to make you think of cheerful things. It's going to make you think of worshiping here. It's going to make you think of God, and you're going to be cheerful. You know, so when you're cheerful, sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, thank you for that. Right, it is. You're going. Yes. I know. I do. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're the one that's waking us up at 6 o'clock. Yeah. I have a stack, probably like this, of Christian CDs that I've bought through the years, and I've recorded all of them to my computer, and then I can copy them on to flash drives. And then if I have a car that will listen to it, you know, do that, I can plug them into my CD player or into the car stereo so that when we travel and you don't have radio stations or whatever, we can always listen to commercial-free, you know, Christian radios. You know, so that's great to do that. So again, if you're cheerful, sing psalms. If anyone among you is sick, and I'm not saying sick and tired, but truly sick, we've had a lot of that going on. You just don't want to have to start next week, do you? Physically sick or Christian? Yeah, I was trying to think of the word to say. Spiritually sick. There she goes. I'm going to say it could be both, because who's to say that if you're sitting up on your deathbed or whatever, that you can't call the elders to come in and to pray for you, you know? I don't have the Greek, if somebody has the Greek lexicon and want to look up that word, hint, hint, sick. She's not looking up at me. Yes. Right. Yes, it does give us some examples on how to pray. But that doesn't mean that we specifically have got to pray what they call, you know, Jesus' model prayer, you know, and you'll see a lot of people today pray that. They've memorized it, and that's what they'll pray. And that's a good point, you know, a good place to start or whatever, but that's not personal. Right. Right, because that's what the guy standing on the street corner would do, you know, just to be heard, you know, a lot of words, just saying the same thing over and over and over again. Well, I won't say that. Kat?
When my dad had a second back injury,
yes.
The doctor told him he had to be broken his back twice, and the doctor said he would never walk again. And my dad's like, yes, I will. He called the church, and he had the elders come and pray over him, and he walked out of the hospital.
Right. No.
I kind of don't believe that completely, but sometimes you're in a situation and you're just like, God, help me.
Right.
That's all you're saying.
Well, the criteria being, you know, you need to pray to God, you know, and it's through Jesus, you know. No, there's not a specific, like I was saying, you know, the model prayer, you got to pray this first, then this, you know, say however many, you know, whatever. It's, you're talking to God. You're, you know, communicating to God on a personal basis. It's nothing that's cut in stone that it has to be this way. You got to cover these, you know, 4, 5, 10 things in order for it to be a prayer. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, you can say, and it can be as long and as short as you need it to be. But like you said, not repetitious, not to just say a bunch of words, you know, type of thing. Oh, yeah.
You know, God is not on our level, and he deserves and commands respect, and we need to treat him as such, with fear, you know, with a healthy fear, not a fear hide in a corner from him fear, but a fear of respect, and that he deserves. He's our creator. He can send us to hell for eternity or heaven for eternity, you know, and so we are in his hands. We are just vessels of his, and so we need to be careful. People need to put him in his place where he belongs, you know, and not down on our level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of these false religions come in, because they bring God into whatever fits their box, whatever's convenient for them, however they like to worship him, their idea of God. It doesn't matter what your idea of God is. You want to know who God is, you find out through the scriptures. And you find out that he is merciful, but he's also a vengeful God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is nothing like us at all, in any way, shape, or form, you know. So we need to be careful that we don't disrespect him, you know, or Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, you know. There's talk about that in the scripture, about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and so these beings are so far superior to us that we need to be careful, and especially if we're giving public prayers, you know, why wouldn't you address our Creator with respect and honor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm by myself and something happens real quick, and like she says, you know, address you first, and
right.
I don't need to go through that. I'm talking to God. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of His. He hears my prayers, you know, so I can do that. I wouldn't stand up in a public place and disrespect God by talking to Him like He's my buddy that I'm, you know, my friend on the street. So.
Yeah. I always tried to instill that with my daughters, is that you're not your children's friend.
Yeah.
You're their parent, and you need to act like their parent, not a friend, because a parent needs to do things and say things that a friend wouldn't do, you know? But anyway, did you find out what the meaning of sick is? If it's talking about spiritual or physical or both?
I did.
Oh, did you? Okay. Is that the Greek for this word? Okay.
Greek. So it could mean whatever. You're weak, you're powerless, you're feeble.
Right.
And it could mean you're poor, or it could be you're weak spiritually.
Yeah. And I personally think it's both ways. I think it is physical and spiritual when you think that you need the elders' guidance or support or prayers. That you call them for that.
And when you were doing this, you know, there was still a miraculous gift of healing.
Right.
So the elders come, they anoint with oil, which was a custom, and pray, and they could have been healed miraculously.
Right. Right.
And he does that to whomever he wills. So we need to pray with faith and then accept the outcome.
Right.
We need to pray with faith, knowing that God still can heal.
He can
do anything if he wants, but you can't.
Right.
Or that guy over there that says he can perform miracles, he can't.
No.
God can't.
Right. And I've shared this story with you before. I remember growing up, cat there. To hear. I remember growing up back home, I remember if it was a meeting or what, but they announced that there was a lady, a member of the church, a sister, who was very sick and on her deathbed. And the church got together that night at the building and prayed all night for her. And she, you know, made it through the night and did not die. You know, so who's to say that the church getting together as a family and praying for her wasn't that, you know, what was needed for her to make it through the night? You know, the prayers of a righteous man avails much. And can we change God's mind? Yeah. I mean, we see that in scriptures. Okay. So don't ever give up on prayer. Do not ever think prayer is not going to work. Don't ever think that God's not listening to your prayers. You know, don't ever think your prayer is not right, you know, the way it should be, quote unquote. You know, because that's what the devil wants you to do, is to question your prayers and to not pray when we need to pray. Okay? And because I've had people who were new Christians say, well, I don't know how to pray. Yeah, okay. But do not pray because of that. Did I say that? Did I get enough knots in there? don't get me with English. I can't do that. So I fail at English. So he's going to do a class on prayer. Maybe. No, I just said you are going to. So let's go on. So call on the elders of the church and let them pray and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay. Again, I think that applies to physical sickness and spiritual sickness. If you decide that you need to call on the elders, then please do so. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Okay? Here we are talking about the power of prayer. This is just words. Okay? But it's not words between me and you. It's prayers between me and God, between you and God. Okay? That has power. Okay? Between me and you are just words. You can listen to them or not. That's another good point. Okay? I can stand up here and teach all day long, and you may or may not listen to me. But you pray to God anytime, any day, and you know what? He listens. And you might be thinking, well, how can he listen? Because there's millions of people around the world that could be praying at the exact same time. You know, God's, you know, mine's just a simple little prayer, you know, praying for me to have a safe trip, you know, back and forth to work. That's nothing compared to somebody who's on their deathbed and needing to pray, you know, a good, strong prayer. Do you think that matters? Is there a difference in what the prayer contains to whether or not God listens to these millions of prayers going up to him, you know, at any time, you know, during any day? No. They're all important to God. They're all important, and God hears all of them. How? I don't know. Okay? Because he's God. But how he does it, how he, you know, it's not like it's a switchboard. Oh, this is an important one, God. You need to listen to this one. Oh, this one's not that important. We'll put this one into the holding area, you know, and you can listen to it later. No. They don't get, you know, separated like that. God hears all of our prayers all the time, regardless of how important that you might think it is. And we need to remember that.
You get to work safe. That important prayer, you might be on your deathbed.
Thanks. Yeah. The road I drive, I understand it.
So, verse 15 right there proves that what we were says it right there. You know, we're saying, is it physically saved or spiritually saved? He covers both of them right there. See, he says, if you're sick, that's a physical sick, you know, and prayer is anointed with oil, and if prayer is faith, then he says, and if you have a good sickness, you'll be forgiven.
He's physical and spiritual. Yeah. That's it. But it doesn't matter. God is listening. He's listening all the time. But what does he say right here? And this answers the question that we talked about earlier. The prayer of what? Of faith. The prayer of faith. You can't just haphazardly, you know, God watch over me. God be with me. You've got to have the faith that God's going to hear you, and God's going to listen, and God's going to do something about it. Not somebody who does not believe in God or haphazardly believes in God. Let me give you an example. I talked to two people this week, and both of them had said they read their Bible, but I don't practice it. Okay.
An example of that is the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Remember?
Yeah.
In Matthew. And what does she say? She said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. That's
faith. Faith. Yes.
That's the prayer of faith. Right?
Yeah. And did she touch it?
Yep.
Did Jesus know it?
Yep.
Yeah, he felt the power leave him.
He
felt the power leave him. Yeah, she was. Okay. Because she had that faith. And that's the point I'm trying to get across. We have to have the faith. You know, just because you read the Bible and you don't practice it, are you going to have the faith? Probably not. Okay? You have to have the faith And faith comes by reading His Word, but by doing His Word. Okay? And if we have that faith, then He will save the sick, and He will raise him up. And those who have committed sins will be forgiven. You know, and again, we can go back to, you know, prayers. There's something for you to talk about. Is what do we pray for? Yes.
In Psalm chapter 50, along with what Vernon said, that God is such a powerful God of majesty, and if we don't have that mindset when we go into prayer, the other verses in there says, who are you, the evil one, to put my statutes in your mouth?
Yeah. You know, if I have the faith to move mountains, you know, it all comes down to faith. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in my lesson. It's starting to snow. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just saw this white flicker to come down. But, you know, we have to have the faith. We must have the faith. We have to believe in our faith.
It's kind of like the telephone, right?
Cat,
get the door.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got to beat the way of the power source.
A couple things real quick back to the prayer we were talking about. We had mentioned that God hears our sinners. I just wanted to read that to everybody. John 9:31 says, now we know that God hears not sinners. Well, yes, you're right. We're all sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him That's not how it works. The second thing is something that's mentioned in 1 Peter that I always think about is our prayers can be hindered. Those of us who are married, our prayers can be hindered if we don't treat our wife properly, our spouse. So it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Some people take that offensive, but we are all just weak vessels of God. But we need to respect the roles of the sexes as He has set them up. And He has set man in a place different than He has woman in their roles. And so, therefore, in His eyes, it might just be a weaker fabric or something. It's not a derogatory thing. We need to treat them with respect because He looks at us the very same as
right.
His vessels. See, and His children. So because He loves her and died for her, we need to do the same thing. It says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. So you need to be unified together as one flesh, that your prayers be not hindered. See, so if we are in conflict with our spouse or not treating them with the respect that they deserve, whether they deserve it or not, we owe it to them because God loves them, then our prayers can be hindered. And that's a sobering thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On earth. So that's an important thing to remember too when we are making ourselves right with God so that our prayers aren't hindered.
Right. That's it. And again, you know, talking about the prayer, we again we sometimes, I think, get caught up as to what we can pray for or what we can't pray for. I don't think there's any restrictions because that's what this is talking about. We need to think of it and realize it in our brain that, you know, we can pray that we have a safe trip. We can pray, you know, maybe that I get that promotion. We can pray. What?
Win the lottery.
Well, you can, but, you know, maybe God knows that you would get more selfish about it,
oh, yeah.
You know, and not have the right mind, you know, about that. And that brings up a good point. You know, we got to be careful that we're not praying for selfish, you know, gains like that, you know.
You know,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
If then statements, you know, if you'll do this for me, then I promise I'll change.
Yeah.
If you'll get me out of this mess, then I'll, no.
Yeah. If she'll go out on me with this date, I promise her I'll go to church, you know. Or, you know, if this will happen, or if you do this for me, Lord, then I'll, you know, I'll go visit the sick. Or if this will happen, Lord, then I'll, you know, I'll give more. Or if you'll do this for me, Lord, you know, God doesn't work in if-then statements. You know, it's unconditional. It's, you know, God, I need to help me with this. And that's it. He can do the if then. He can do the if then, but we can. There's a difference. There's a difference. Yeah. God, like you said, has a lot of if thens, you know.
He does it through us. We're supposed to be open to him so he can do his glorious miracles through us for the proclamation of the world to see that Jesus, his son, is alive and well.
Yeah, I mean, our Christianity is one big if-then statement from him. If you do my will, then you can go to heaven. You know, it's not me. Well, if, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll, you know. He can do the if-thens. We can't.
You can be in a very prayerful, heartful mood up here, but if your heart isn't there, if your lamp isn't shining, right? That's a sin. You're praying a sin because when you pray, you're supposed to. It's a connection.
Yeah. Well, in that statement of if you do His will, that word will is a broad word. Okay, and it, everything that we are supposed to be doing as a Christian boils down, you know, and falls into that category or under that umbrella of His will is all filled into that. It doesn't specifically state, like he was saying, you know, letting your light shine, you know, teaching to others, you know, praying, reading the scriptures. That all falls underneath that that will umbrella that we've got to be doing in order to make it into heaven. Yes. Right.
That's I you know, I've gone through all these doctrinal books of will. You know, I mean, like, will. Well, then what is his will? Well, the second greatest commandment. That's the closest thing I've come up with. If somebody has a better one, please.
Right. Okay.
So, on that note, what Glenn said, Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So, yes, God most definitely has conditions.
Telling us exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, God can do if-thens, but we can't to him. It's only a one-way street on those spiritual if-then statements. Okay. Yes. I was going to say, if I did a search for if then, there's probably a ton that would pop up.
Yeah.
you know, that God gave to the children of Israel. And don't think that just because it's Old Testament that it doesn't apply to us.
Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. If I can find 50 dragon bulls.
Right.
Okay.
If I can find, you know, came down to five. Yeah. If I can find five, will you then save it, you know, and couldn't even find the five. So, yeah, and again, there's a lot of if-thens that God gives, Old Testament and New Testament, but again, it's a one way. We can't do our own, trying to get what we want by bribing, it's more or less what it is bribing God, you know. You know, if God, if you'll give this to me, if you'll do this for me, if this will happen, then I will, you know, be more righteous. I will be the Christian I'm supposed to be if you will do this. And that's more or less what it comes down to, isn't it? You know, that we're bribing God that if you'll do this, then I'll be the Christian that I'm supposed to be to begin with. You know. Yeah, it can be human. All right, well, we've actually spent the whole class period on those four verses, so it's going to be another week. Yeah, so any other questions or comments on these few verses that we've looked at this morning? We'll pick up next week on verse 16, and maybe we can complete James next week, but we'll see. I know it. I'm not going to count on it either, and I love it when everybody picks in, and even I know, and I've got no problems with that. Thank you very much for being here and your comments. Well, hello there. You coming to visit me? Are you coming to visit me this morning, huh? Are you messing with my water bottle?